1, 2, 3. Woo!
See, that throws me off. I'm used to the quiet count. We need the shh. 1, 2, 3. And then you go into it.
So welcome to Make Me a Gamer.
No. No.
we're experimenting with our intros now. We have the kind of lead up walk in.
It just suddenly starts at times. I don't know. The intros are still the things that freak me out.
Okay. Well, we're past the intro now. Yeah, we're into the episode. So, we're waiting.
This is all like raw material. I'm uncomfortable until you introduce yourself.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be. Totally natural. See, now we're ready to go.
Okay.
I have to summon him up, get him ready.
Got to do the Harvey official... Z has to,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For that, it's all just raw crap. Cookie dough. Now we're chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. All right. We've gotten past the cookie dough stage. Now we're ready to be eaten.
Cookies. Yes.
And we're not going to give you salmonella if you ingest us.
That was a thing. Yeah. Is that still a thing? It probably still is, isn't it? Like, we shouldn't eat raw cookie dough?
Don't they make cookie dough that you can eat raw? Like, they design it specifically so for people who like to eat cookie dough, they can eat it?
That is a thing now, but I think that's bullshit. Because back in college, like, we would just buy the raw cookie dough and eat them.
Yeah.
I think you remember that as well. Yeah. Like, my roommate was a big proponent. That was the first time, though, that I saw somebody ingest raw cookie dough. And I was like, you can't do that, dude. And he's like, I've been doing this all my life and I'm not dead yet. And I was like, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
And then I started eating raw cookie dough. I mean, he's not dead.
So if he had jumped off a cliff, you would have jumped off after him?
If he survived afterwards and was like, I'm totally 100% fine, everything is good to go, I'd maybe consider it. I'd wonder why it happened. And if it seemed like, oh, maybe there's a big giant like foam. Nope. Can't jump off a cliff into those foam pad things. This is nothing about gaming right now.
Okay, well, we can get right into the gaming stuff.
I need my news.
Your news? Okay, well, we're going to start off with the big shocking news this week. There wasn't a big
week
like,
for gaming.
There weren't any controversies this week. A couple new games, big games got released, and so that was pretty much all the news. But there wasn't any...
Nothing's been on my radar, actually. Like, I don't even know games that were released.
So, released this week, Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, that's right!
Mega Man 11.
Yeah.
Super Mario Party came out for the Switch.
Wait, is it just a remake of the first one, or is it a...
No, it's a new game.
Oh, I love Super Mario Party a lot. It's a fantastic game. Like, I like that it's multiplayer, it's easy to play, it's got group activities, it's like a board game with your friends with a video game system. Oh, such a great, like, I just thought it was like how they remake all these classic games or such. It's just a port of the first one.
No, it's a brand new game.
Oh.
Because the original games were called Mario Party.
Yeah.
Like, it's Mario, one this through, one's like, called 50. Super Mario Party.
Oh, I hated that. As a Sega guy, I was like, this is so stupid. You're Super Nintendo and you're Super Mario. Who are we really fooling here? But you should totally buy that game then. We should totally
play. You want to play that?
Super Mario Party? Hell yes.
Okay. All right. I'll look into that then.
Okay.
So the big news this week, there was a leaked video of a Harry Potter RPG.
Harry Potter RPG.
Right.
Not like the... I know there's this Pottermore stuff. You can go there.
It's not Pottermore.
Website. There's like those little click games or so.
No. It was a video. It showed character customization where you basically get to design your own student in Hogwarts. And it showed off like him walking around Hogwarts and you fighting like ogres and...
Does it take place then, I guess, at the time of the books and you're kind of...
No, it doesn't.
So it's not like the Lego... There's probably Lego Harry Potter.
Yeah, there are Lego Harry Potters, but this is... The rumors are it's supposed to going to take place in the 19th century. So it's going to be like pre-everything that happens in the canon, so they can kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
And so it won't be like modern, it'll be...
When you say RPG, that makes me think of the RPG games I play are like Final Fantasy...
Not like that. It's like an action RPG, but So there's lots of theories going around. So basically the game, this wasn't supposed to be officially announced anytime soon. Like the video got taken down, but everyone's been talking about it and everything. It's basically all what all the Harry Potter fans' dream game is, because you get to create your own character. Yeah. And they think it's going to be similar to like Mass Effect. Okay. Because the plot of the game is supposedly you're going to be a transfer student that comes during their fifth year.
Okay.
And so they think that the first game is going to take place during fifth year, and it's going to be a trilogy where the second game is the sixth year, third game is the seventh year, and like your choices might carry over.
Oh.
You know, like your character could go
through. Isn't Mass Effect, though, like a shooting type art? Like, I know it has an RPG element to it, but it's like a first-person shooter. Or not a first-person, but a...
It was a third-person shooter, but it was considered an action RPG.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have conversations, you make decisions, you upgrade your...
I just viewed it as like a third-person Halo type game. Because aliens and you're fighting aliens, you're shooting aliens or such, and... But yes, there's dialogue in between, but I didn't assume that there's long-term consequences with the dialogue choices.
No, there are. There's like it matters what you do and things like that.
I've heard like people really... Anyway, it's Mass Effect I heard good things from a storyline perspective, but I was like, again, it's a third-person like shooting game. How in-depth could a story be in that?
No, I mean, most people enjoyed Mass Effect for the story and for the romance options, but, But yeah, so the... Rumors, like the guy that posted the video, like said some rumors, and I think there's been some investigation. I think Eurogamer, I believe, posted some extra information on it. The working title is Harry Potter Magic Awakened.
Boo, wait, it takes place way before Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And it's called Harry Potter. That immediately makes me question the whole thing.
It's trying to say it's in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, but That's tough. I get what the gamers...
Well, what would you call it? Like, if it's in the Harry Potter universe, Harry Potter universe...
You could bring up, like, Hogwarts. You could bring up the stuff that the fans would know, but maybe not the casual person, I suppose. Yeah.
I don't know. Hogwarts, like, if you did Hogwarts Magic Awakened...
Why even Magic Awakens? Or Return to Hogwarts, Hogwarts Strikes Back.
But that sounds like it's after.
That's true.
This takes place before.
Hogwarts, A New Hope. Hogwarts, the magical menace.
So your only frame of reference is Star Wars movie titles?
So they are the longest running movie series that I could think of with a beginning, middle. Like there's nine of them. Well, there's going to be nine of them. And then side stuff. What other movie kind of thing does that I can think of off the top of my head?
Harry Potter, Thunderball.
I'm digging that a lot. Thunderdome. You went with Thunderdome. I know the Bond series. I'm not a Bond guy. I know you're a Bond guy, T-Man. But, oh. Okay. Yeah. Hogwarts. Octopussy. I'm into this. I'm into this. I'm trying to just think of more. I'm like...
Potter. Harry Potter.
Again, you got to step away from the Harry Potter. You need stuff from the universe and then put it with a Bond
Door. Guide. Dumbledore.
I could go with that. I could fuck with that. That's pretty good. That's the other part. Like, isn't the American school Liver Money or something like that?
I don't know.
There's Money Penny and Bond.
Over Money Penny?
Liver Money? Penny Money? No. See, the problem is I don't know my Bond that well. And my Harry Potter, I just know casually from Harry Potter stuff. But I don't know the in-depth lore.
Yeah. I know some... Harry Potter stuff, not enough to really riff off of turn it into Bond. Like, I don't know.
Like, I don't know enough Bond stuff except for, like, Die Another Day, Tomorrow Never Comes, and now I'm just making up things that sound
Tomorrow Bond-ish. Never Dies.
That would be, but Tomorrow Never Comes sounds like a Bond title. It's pretty good. You could, if you didn't know, you might actually, I could have slipped that one in there.
Yeah, maybe. You can't slip it past me, though, because I know the movies.
Okay. What was the first Bond movie called?
Doctor No.
And see, that one doesn't really... And then they didn't go with, like, more... How did you know they were Bond movies?
Goldfinger.
Yeah, they're just villain titles. They're not actually, like...
Yeah.
This is not James Bond and the magical villain that
Well,
says...
I mean, a lot of them were based off of books, though, so...
In the Harry Potter series, they're all named Harry Potter.
Yeah, they just picked the name from the book or whatever it was coming from, so...
Well, I feel like maybe you can market it through the artwork and other stuff. But yeah, I don't think they were probably focused on it at this point in the like video game development of like,
true.
It might have just been like a code name title for the game.
Yeah, probably. We'll see what the final is because people are thinking it's probably over a year out at this point. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not releasing this year. Maybe not even next year. It all depends on if this is a this generation game or a next generation game.
Oh, I just automatically assume like PC and stuff. But yeah, consoles are a big deal.
Yeah, we're getting close to the time when they're going to announce new consoles again. And it really frustrates me. Like, I'm just getting into the PS4, but it's been out for like 4 years already.
Really? Like, I assume like consoles, yeah. Like, when did they... See, like, Sega was forever, it felt like. And then, yeah, you had the Dreamcast came out. But, like, Sega and Super Nintendo stayed around for a long time. Then PlayStation 1 also felt like a really long time.
It was, like, 5 years.
That's true. I guess as a kid, that, like, covered a long period of time. That was, like, middle school entirely or, like, high school entirely. It was right. One system could get you through the whole thing.
Yeah. I think, when did I get my PS4? I think I got the PS4 in... 2015? When did Bloodborne come out? 2014, 2015, somewhere in there.
But you just bought another... But you bought, like... See, this is what they started to do, though, is they started to add, like, little extras. You bought, like, an Ultra PS4 or something.
Yeah, I got the PS4 Pro, the Spider-Man version.
And so if a new console comes out, does that just mean your thing is obsolete?
I mean, it depends. Usually, a lot of the times... The first round of games, like for the first year or so, come out on both consoles. Oh. And like there's some exclusives one way or the other, mm-hmm. but a lot of times, especially third-party developers, they want to make sure they get as many people as possible. But I don't think we'll see a new system until 2020.
Okay.
I think that'll be the earliest we'll see the next one. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I think with the fact that both Microsoft and Sony released pro versions of their console to like update graphics, mm-hmm. that there's not as much pressure to get a new console out.
And Nintendo went from the Wii U to the Switch. The Switch right. seems to, like, they should stick with it. Like,
why yeah, the Switch, there's probably not going to be, although there is a rumor that there's going to be a new version of the Switch coming out in 2019.
What would they do to it?
Some people are crazy and think it's going to be like a 4K version of the Switch and like
okay.
it's going to be updated graphics and going like, to be more.
Nintendo doesn't really.
They work. Don't focus on that.
Yeah.
So what other people have thought is that they're going to release a just handheld version that doesn't have a dock.
Like a
that
Game like Boy, yeah.
kind of Game Boy-ish version that doesn't like,
yeah,
come apart. Which
it already almost is.
Yeah.
Like, why not just get a Switch and then just use it as a...
cheaper if it comes out if it's that's cheaper.
True. Yeah, I guess.
Because they did that with the 2DS and the 3DS. Mm-hmm. Like the 2DS was a smaller version of the handheld thing. It didn't have like the flip close thing, yeah. but. It cost less and was easier to get for like kids and stuff.
And that's, and I think, I feel like Nintendo markets itself more towards the child or family friendly audience.
Yeah, yeah. They like local multiplayer, family.
Which is why, like, as I got older, like playing with my family or like my little sister or other people, cousins, things like that, it was easier to do on Nintendo systems versus PlayStation and Xbox games had. Skill and a steeper learning curve. I couldn't just pick up something and teach it to like a family member to play like over a holiday break or something.
Right. And also a lot of the games on the Sony and Microsoft started focusing on online multiplayer.
Yeah.
So there was less of the camaraderie of like a group hanging out mm-hmm. and playing.
I do like that Nintendo keeps itself to that group audience. It's a niche that I hope stays alive.
Yeah. There's been a little bit of controversy because the Super Mario Party doesn't really have an online feature. Like, you can play the mini games yeah. online, yeah. but a lot of people are like, well, I can't play the boards online with people. And I don't know. Nintendo's, they focus on local, and that's good, but their online stuff is just so far behind everyone else.
But again, why specialize in something where there's like already two people competing in that market pool? I kind of get the sense of Nintendo should be Nintendo. Like that is now like when I think of Nintendo, they have that reputation of local games or so. Like when I was a kid and we didn't have a Super Nintendo, But like when you could go to Blockbuster and rent systems and consoles, you would rent those sorts of things. Like, oh, let's go rent a console and some games for the weekend and we can play it. That was an essential like part of growing up. Now, I don't know like how that would work out.
Yeah.
You can't go to a Redbox and rent a console.
Yeah, no. No, you can't. You've got to pretty much buy them. Mm-hmm. And but then I guess you can Redbox the games if you don't want to.
But again, it assumes that you have a system then.
Yeah.
So you can't like you can't try out a system for a couple days or so.
Maybe we should start a company. Another get-rich-quick scheme.
I don't know. Like, so we'd have to buy a bunch of consoles. We could rent it out. So I heard about this thing, like, Tekken houses.
What?
So I just learned about this thing. It's called Tekken House. Or okay. Tekken houses, I guess. It's basically, they showed, it's basically some guy's garage. And he has in it a small TV screen, maybe two TV screens like back to back, and like a single game of like or a console that plays Tekken. And it's basically they started it up because their arcades closed down and they were like, oh, we can't go to the arcade and game anymore, but yo, this dude has a Tekken house, you can go over there and he's got like at least two games or three games of just Tekken playing, and you can go over there and local people who used to go to the arcades would go and just play competitive Tekken with each other on a local sense.
Okay,
that's and I think that's a pretty cool idea. It's, I mean, I'm not a Tekken guy or a fighter guy, like in the fighting game kind of genre, but it made sense of like, oh, if you normally go and you don't want to play on the internet and you play against people in your neighborhood and you get this camaraderie, they all had like slang names for each other. It's sort of like the internet, but not. Because like you get your alias and stuff and you...
Well, okay. So the fighting game community, that's kind of generally what they do. Like, they all have names and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They always prefer local because internet has lag.
That's true.
And so they, a lot of, if you're in the fighting game community, you can probably find some local place to go to where they'll have, like, local tournaments or just training or weekly
like sessions. I know this as well from, like, so one of the people I follow online is a guy named Xavier Woods, who is a professional wrestler. That's what he does. But he carries around his console all the time. He has a video game channel on like YouTube. Can we mention it? I think so. Like Up, Up, Down, Down is how I got into like this whole world of watching people play video games, was by watching a professional wrestler who I liked play video games. And I was like, yeah, I like video games too. I didn't think I'd watch people play video games, but I'll watch a celebrity person that I know play a video game. And oh, he really likes it. And oh, I could learn about games that way. But he always, like, when he goes to a show, because they're always on the road and stuff, will send out a tweet later after the show of, like, where's the local arcade? And he goes and he spends his time, like, at arcade bars and such.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
And so he's big into, like, the Tekken world. Another famous kind of professional wrestler, but more in the Japan side, is a guy named Kenny Omega, who's really big in, like, I didn't realize Tekken is related in a way or has shout-outs to professional wrestling.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Well, Tekken specifically has King, yep. Who is the wrestler.
And, like, some of his outfits are actual outfits worn by, like, some of the New Japan professional wrestling, like, wrestlers. Okada is the guy who has actually that fancy. And, like, he uses wrestling moves in his thing.
Yeah, like, he was my character. Like, whenever I played Tekken, I always played as King.
Like, I can't remember who I used to play with. I never played Tekken that well, so...
I didn't either.
But, like...
I played Tekken 3... And I've played Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Uh-huh.
And I played... That's the only time I've really played Tekken, but both times King was my guy.
Okay. Like, that's how I started to watch these sorts of things was... So professional wrestlers lend themselves to being in this fighting community really well. Like, so Xavier Woods and Kenny Omega will shout each other out. Like, even though they're in different companies and WWE doesn't really... even like mention that, oh, New Japan Professional Wrestling and other wrestling companies really exist unless they're somehow affiliated with WWE. They just don't, but they've allowed him this platform on YouTube. He uses his non like professional name or he tries to avoid it so he can stay independent as much as he can, but he'll shout out like Kenny Omega all the time. And every so often they'll meet up at these video game conventions. And I think you went to one, like the one you went to, actually they're there.
I've been to a lot of them.
You went to one recently, actually, in California.
I went to E3?
They were there. Like, okay. These guys are like well enough known and supported now, like in the fighting community, that they get shouted out and that they have characters. I think there was a Tekken character named Cody who came out recently, and some of his outfits are also like throwbacks or kind of shout outs to some of the New Japan.
I thought Cody was Street Fighter.
Isn't he in the Tekken game though? Or no, you're right. He is in the Street Fighter games.
Yeah, because he's like, he was used to be a criminal, and he would like, he had like the chains as his move.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow he became mayor, and so now he's like a guy with like a suit and tie, the suit and when he's fighting.
He wears, yeah, like it's a, like the suit and things that he wears now is like, so there's a wrestler with Kenny Omega called Cody Rhodes, who was a or is a professional wrestler, who wears like that exact outfit. And it was, and so like when they had like the showing of this new video game and they debuted him, it was going to be during a match between Kenny Omega versus Xavier Woods, and then they were preparing, and I think like Xavier Woods' big guy is like Birdie,
yeah, that's like Street Fighter,
who's like a big like heavyweight kind of guy.
Yeah,
and like that day Kenny Omega showed up though. And Kenny Omega has his person he uses, like, I can't remember if it's like the little ninja girl or somebody like that. But like, he debuted with, oh yeah, I've been practicing behind the scenes. And they debuted Cody, the character, by introducing it. And he played for the first time as the first player for the audience and everybody to see that match.
Huh.
It's actually on YouTube. It's hilarious. It's like an hour or so more, like the actual thing, because they trash talk each other. It was also big from a wrestling standpoint because it was Xavier Woods brought his like, stable, his group, and so it was WWE wrestlers who were next to the Bullet Club, which is New Japan's like stable that Kenny Omega is a part of. You would never see these two wrestling like stables meet each other because the WWE simply
but they got
out.
Together because of Street Fighter.
But because of Street Fighter, they were there in their regular personas, but being the wrestling kind of braggacious selves and like trash talking each other. I think that one of them like super kicked the host, who was just like a video game channel guy, but he gets super kicked into the audience. Like, it was a lot of fun. And normally I wouldn't watch like fighting games, but this is how it got brought me in. Was like the pomp and show of like wrestling.
Yeah.
But then, and then they yelled at each other, and then they sat down, and then they had a match. And I'm assuming they actually played the match out, but I'm like, it was dramatic all the way to the end, and he debuts Cody. He tries for a while. I don't remember who, I won't spoil actually who wins. It's worth watching though. It's like, it has drama all the way through.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've always liked watching fighting games because they have an interesting strategy to them. I've never been able to play them because my reflexes aren't good enough. And there's a lot of, if you want to be a pro fighter, in the fighting game community, you have to learn like frame canceling and like this thing gives you positive three frames like if just, they block it.
You can't just do punch kicks and my moves will be better than your moves, or my wrestler or my character will fight better. It's, I have to know how the game's like frame rates and like the behind the scenes knowledge to know, oh well, this move that you do glitches against this move and it'll be better if I use this attack against this character because of that. It became almost not math, but in a way of like insider like knowledge kind of stuff.
Yeah, it requires a lot of memorization and just kind of repetitive learning and moving, being able to move your fingers fast enough to, because like a frame or two frames is enough basically to drop a combo.
Yeah.
And that's like less than a second. So you've got to be perfect with your timing. So people who are really good at fighting games, I'm in awe of because of how well, like, I assume you've seen the Daigo Perry vid.
Which one is that?
Okay. So it's one of the most famous fighting game videos or like clips. It was from an old Evo where Daigo, he was playing as Ken, and he parries Chun-Li's ultimate attack. And I think this was in like, it was Street Fighter 3 or Street Fighter Alpha, one of those games. And I think it was Third Strike, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. And you have to parry each individual blow.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chun-Li's ultimate is just her kicking like 30 times.
Uh-huh.
So he parried like every single kick from her ultimate.
And he had to enter a sequence to do each parry.
I don't think there was a sequence, but like button pressing, he had to have the timing perfect, and he had literally like a sliver of health left and she had about half and he parries everything and then comes back and does one long combo and kills her. And so it's like, one of the hypest, craziest moments of the fighting game community. Like, everyone that's in the fighting game community knows about this, and it's everywhere on YouTube.
And is it something where that shows a ton of skill, or is that what you should be doing? That's
That's like super skill. That's crazy.
Got it. Because, like, I've seen Smash Brothers kind of gets away with a little bit more, but that's where I started to learn about, like, oh, you can, like, block through and slide, and then that's where I started to learn frame rate sort of stuff. Like, oh, it's not just punching and kicking and blocking. There's more to it in the game and such to do those sorts of things. And I've seen, like, the Fox versus Fox videos, and, like, bombs are falling from the sky and they're just going back and forth, or they fly all around the map and through the knockback.
Some of those are tool assisted, though.
Oh.
Like, especially the ones with the bombs, there's a lot of tool assisted fighting for, like, displays.
And when you say tool assisted, what does that mean? Like, is there a computer, or not a, I want to say a game genie for lack of, like, a device? Is it like you're using a device, or is it you're using a preset code or something that auto does something for you?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not big on tool assisted stuff, but I do know it's so, like, tool assisted speed runs are basically something like save states where if they screw up, the end result is like a 10-minute video of them completing the game, like,
but it
perfectly
could be done like 10 times or something, and it just clips together all the successes.
Exactly.
And every time it fails, it just starts right back, as opposed to starting and replaying through the whole.
Right.
Oh, so it's more of like a video editing kind of device.
Not exactly, because they're still doing everything that is in the game. It's just they're.
I meant video assisted or editing in the sense that there's not, it's not actually helping you play. Like, it's all player skill, but it gets you to the same point that it was previously or such. So you don't have to, like, play through again. It's almost as if the save state happens just at the right before the failure and you can correct it then.
Right. Yeah. Stuff like that.
But it's not like like the old Sega games that had, like, the little consoles that turbo buttons or such, where if you clicked on it, it was just fire the button really fast. Like, that was, to me, like a tool assisted.
That's
not what we're talking about. We're
I don't think so.
Okay, this is, if you fuck up, it'll just, the tool will get you to that point again, and you can do the next sequence or move to prevent that fuck up.
Right.
Okay. And so the other person, so when they're fighting each other and those types of things, the other person is also in on it, kind of.
Yeah.
It's not just like a death match of, see, that's where it's, again, the story and the drama goes away for me. To know those sorts of things.
I'm sorry I ruined it.
No, like, I mean, that's good. I didn't really watch the tool assist, but I thought, like, these are just two really hardcore good players countering each other move for move and going through. Not these are two good players who are still doing all of that, but are doing it to present, like, a video or, like, show how far they can push it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But not because this is a grudge match and they hate each other that damn much that they'll go all the way through into sudden death and then overtime and more. And so, okay.
Yeah.
That's why, like, for me, the fighting games that I started to like was, like, wrestling games. Like, SmackDown and Raw versus SmackDown back in the day is the games I liked where you could create a wrestler. And it was an RPG mode. You set him out, and then you started through the campaign where you were a wrestler with no name, and you had to fight all the people in the ranks and slowly get, like, one of the belts, the Intercontinental Champion, the U.S., or the tag team, and then go work your way to getting the heavyweight championships. Like, I love those types of games. And, like, I know they still have them now with, like, I think it's called, like, Raw 2019 or WWE 2019. I think it's, like, become a Madden style. Like, every year there's a new updated version. And, like, the rosters are huge. And I'm, like, secretly, that's, like, a guilty pleasure idea of, like, if I had a system that would support it, I kind of want to get it. Except for now that it comes out every year. And it's, like, just like with the Madden series, like, okay, if I buy it, I would just rather have one and, like, really like it and play it for, like my SmackDown one, me and my cousin would play it all the time. And we created a ton of our own wrestlers with, like, the cheesiest, awesome cheese moves that you could do where you could create combination sequences. Like, this one guy would just hit you over and over, and he could just combo over and over and over. And it's just, like, what we started doing was then creating those types of wrestlers and just putting them into the game, and the computer could play as them. Because the AI wasn't that good back in the day. I don't know if the AI is better, but, like, the AI back then sucked. But if you gave them a cheesy sequence, like, you knew that, oh, when you place this guy, if he hits you with this one combination, he just goes through six moves in a row. And it's just because we know what the computer's going to pick. And so it made the game more challenging in that way.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I know you're a big wrestling fan. Yeah. I've never really played any of the wrestling games. It hasn't really been my thing. Closest I got was Gang Beasts.
Which is so... like, I don't understand. So Gang Beasts, is it when you play Gang Beasts, which is, imagine like little plush dolls that attack each other, and the controls are all fucked up. Is it the controls are randomized each match?
No.
The controls are always the same.
Yeah.
Because I never understand how the freaking game like works or why. Like, there's no like... there's no like instruction manual kind of thing for it where it's like, oh, this is the punch button, this is the headbutt button. It always feels like it's random to me, but partly you're button mashing.
I mean,
are you supposed to play that game with skill and finesse?
I don't think so. It's supposed to be like a party fun game.
Yeah.
There are specific controls, though, to do everything.
I just assumed it's one of those like, oh, it's going to be a party fun game. And we're reversing the controls, so each control is different for everybody kind of
thing. No.
Okay.
No, it's all the same.
So there's probably someone out there who's like an elite Gang Beast player.
There's always an elite player somewhere.
Okay.
Okay, so we got a little off track here.
Yeah, we got away from the Tekken house. We will need to revisit that idea at some point.
Well, the Tekken house wasn't even the main idea.
I know, which is why we kind of... But like as a get-rich-quick scheme, give me some time to think about this. We might be able to create something with this.
We're going
to
create our own Tekken house?
Maybe not Tekken, but we'll find a game that could be suitable for a bunch of people to come in, play, and then just, like, leave.
Okay, but how do you get rich off that?
We charge them.
Okay.
It's like an arcade without an arcade. Like,
we're going to have to hire a bouncer to stand at the door?
We
throw you out.
Or what if we put it into gamble? Do people gamble on these games?
Probably.
Like Tekken matches and stuff? Could you like bet money?
I think you can bet money on anything.
I think this is how we do this. The Tekken house, free to play, free to do all of that. But one, we need a man on the inside. We need our own house player that we know is friggin' good. And then we can do the games and bets and everything. And then we card shark or whatever, the pool shark, Tekken shark these guys. We Tekken shark.
We're going to Tekken shark people.
Yeah, he comes in. He's a newbie guy, but he's secretly working for us. And then we'll bet money on him. And he's the local champion, has racked up money. Yeah, we're paying out the things. We don't really care about like the funds. But then we put all the house money on this kid. No one knows who he is. He Tekken sharks the other fool. We get all the money.
Do you want to start a Tekken mafia? Like, are you going to be like the Tekken father?
The Tekken boss? The tech boss. Oh, I mean, again, all I'm doing is providing a local service for people. They can gamble. They can do what they want.
And then you're throwing in ringers that you've hired.
We don't tell them this when it happens, but it happens. Yes.
Okay, so you're just going to hope that nobody listens to our podcast.
I mean, we could get away with some of that in the early goings. Well, if you ever just see Harvey Z's House of Tekken, come on in. Just play. Ignore that kid playing over there. Maybe he has a little shark hat on. Ignore him. He's totally fine. Don't bet on him. Bet on your champion. Bring your champions to the Harvey Z Tekken house. Come on.
Okay.
Back to the news.
Back to the news. I was going to talk a little bit about while we were on the Switch, and then you suddenly...
Switched it up?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, don't worry. We'll fix it in post.
So, Civilization VI
uh-huh.
is coming out on Switch.
What? I own Civilization VI. I even own the expansion. I've never played the expansion. I bought it just before like the corporate stuff gave up. So I haven't been able to actually play the game I bought. But
you're going to have a homework assignment. You're going to actually play a game by the next time we have a podcast. Okay?
We'll see. But yeah, that's
a good goal. I want you to play a game. That's it. Come have 30 minutes to an hour of an experience of a game that's not on your phone. That's all I want.
Oh, you had to add, because I was like, I could do this. I could download a new phone game.
No phone games. Ugh. Civ 6 or Start War of the Chosen or there's got to be other stuff. Just.
Yeah, something to play.
Play something, please. Give me something.
I'm on a gaming podcast. I should play something at some point in. Yeah.
But anyway, so like I'm like conflicted. So Civ 6 is coming out November 16th on Switch. Mm-hmm. Diablo 3 is coming out November 2nd on just Switch.
Switch?
The full like game, yeah. All the expansions and everything. And I kind of want to get both.
I have Diablo 3, I think. That's the newest one. Like, there's Yeah, I have Diablo 3. Although, I haven't beaten it on the computer. I should play that, too.
Yeah. You might be that people are thinking that Diablo 4 is going to be announced at BlizzCon this year.
Oh.
Because, like, the opening panel is a Diablo panel, and usually they have the big announcement right off the top.
I see.
So they think they're going...
Diablo is, like, the perfect game, though. Sorry, I'm going to get on a tangent on this of, like, where... That was one of the first computer games I had was Diablo 2.
Uh-huh.
Because it was a point-and-click game. It was I didn't need a... It was not an RPG kind of like, or it wasn't an online game. You could play through it. Only as I got older did like I start to hear people trash talk Diablo and say like it has minimal content in the sense that it is just a point and click adventure. There's no skill to it. It's kind of a button mashing. But as a kid, I loved it. And I still to this day, like I bought Diablo 3 much later than when it first came out. Was like, I still like it. Yes, I'm clicking on barrels and I'm destroying things and I'm just clicking buttons. But there's endless hordes coming at me. But I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, like, I've never played any of the Diablos because I haven't been a big loot type game.
Mm-hmm.
But something about both Diablo 3 and Civ 6 being, like, portable makes it seem like it's much more appealing to me. Like, Civ 6, part of the reason that I'm always, like, I have Civ 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I even got the stupid Civ Beyond Earth. Like
wanted to get it, heard bad things.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it.
I keep hoping that they'll like patch it or something. It'll be amazing. Yeah.
No, it wasn't that good. It
totally fits into my idea of like Civ in space.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was, but it wasn't great.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm a big Civ fan, but part of the reason I'm always hesitant to get Civ is because when you play a game of Civ, you sit at your computer for like 10 hours. That's not minimum.
Even yeah.
Yeah, that's like minimum.
Yeah.
And the idea of being able to have it on Switch so I can play it while I'm watching TV or like play for 30 minutes and then pause it. Like that is more appealing than having to sit at my computer for 10 hours focused on one game.
Like I used to play Civ a lot, but that was the problem. And I would have all these unfinished games. What ended up happening was like one of my friends actually has like a tablet. Who owns a tablet to begin with? But they had a tablet.
I own a tablet.
Like a Microsoft motherfucker. Tablet.
Tablets represent, bro.
Like, not an iPad. iPads, I understand again, but like...
iPad is a tablet.
So they had like an actual tablet PC. Like, that was their PC.
Oh.
Who has that? Yeah, I know. See?
Oh.
Like, people have iPad. I get iPads. I get those types of... But to make that your home PC device, like, they took notes in college and classes with it and stuff.
I mean, I can see that. It's
still weird, though. I see if you have that and you have, like, a laptop or you have a computer, but to make that your main device it's a weird life choice. I mean, I'm not going to question it, but okay, to each their own.
Don't tablet shame.
Okay, I won't. Because it actually ended up coming in handy because we were able to put Steam on it and then install and play Civ. And then suddenly, Civ on a tablet is amazing. Because you just use your hands as the mouse and you can just draw around and stuff. And you could bring it wherever we went. And so... It got a resurgence for me where I was like, oh, yeah, Civ is a fun game.
Right.
Yeah. And when I could take it places and we could just save it and then, oh, yeah, just pull out your tablet, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to do that with the Switch.
Makes like, sense.
Like, Switch has touchscreen, too.
Yeah.
So you can tablet stuff.
How are you going to play, like, Diablo? If it's a touchscreen, it works completely. It is just a couple buttons. You just need a mouse almost and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe we'll get a Civ 6 game going. We can pass it back and forth while we're podcasting.
We need more hot seat games.
Yeah, I miss hot seat gaming. Worms Armageddon, that was like the peak of the Worms series.
Oh, yeah. I would go over to my neighbor's like house and just play that game.
Like, we played that in college.
Played it in college. Played it like where you could like... Oh, that's where the root of like Darksiding came from.
Oh God, Darksiding.
Where you could just build walls and protect yourself, like ninja roping all around the map like a boss. Like, oh.
I don't think that's how you ninja roped around the map. I seem to remember.
Good. So this is young Harvey Z was a master at this sort of stuff.
I didn't get to see the master at work because you were sending yourself into the drink a lot.
But I used, because I kept trying to reach my glory days.
Trying to relive the glory days.
Reflexes, all of it. That was a good time, like playing Worms Armageddon. Oh, that was around the time of like Diablo 2 and stuff, maybe.
Yeah, a good Worms game for the Switch would be great too, because you can just pass that around.
I feel like Worms should just be on every console. Like,
yeah,
those
there,
types
there
of
should
games
be a good Worms game everywhere.
Like, is there, like, I know they have Fortnite and stuff like that now, but I like those, like, where it's just a stationary, you have a thing, and it's a physics-based shooting game against each other, and like, that is... It is a simple game, but it is a genius concept.
I think a recent Worms game has come out, but I don't know if it's any good or not. Like, and it's in like the last
to go to like
2 years.
3D and sort of all sorts of weird stuff.
No, it's still a 2D, but you can like drive tanks and stuff. Like it's
yeah.
I don't know.
Is there any other franchise that has tried to jump onto this bandwagon?
If they are, they're indie. They're not.
Yeah,
because
actually,
name.
Before Worms, there was a game. Just won't know it. It's a pixelated game, I remember.
Scorched Earth?
Yes! Holy shit, you know Scorched Earth?
Yes, I know Scorched Earth. I love Scorched Earth.
It was amazing!
Yeah, it was like the old pixel game that
yeah,
with
you
the
were
tanks.
Different types of tanks, and
yeah.
you had roly bombs and like exploding bombs, and you could change like the things to make like...
I remember that taught me what a MIRV was.
What was a MIRV?
M-I-R-V. Multiple something, but it's like you shoot it out
and
like explodes into a
yeah.
bunch of different ones. Yeah.
Oh, that was one of the first, like that came out really early and like.
Yeah, that was a very old PC
like,
game.
I don't think I was like, in middle school even. In
like
that.
90s, early 90s.
Early 90s. Like, yeah. Wow. That was, but I loved playing it. I never played it with anybody else really. I played against the computer mostly. Like that was one of those where it was, again, it was, I was young enough to, it was at my house. And it was either neighborhood kids would come over and stuff and play.
Right.
Oh, that was... I didn't think anybody knew that game existed. Yeah. Such a good game.
Yeah, I had that on my very first computer. My friends and I, when we were young, we would sit at my computer and play that, like hot seating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Scorched Earth and the other old school shout-out game, Castle of the Winds.
That one I don't know. Sorry.
It was a weird pixelated like D&D kind of game where you it was a dungeon crawl, sort of like Diablo at all, but it was a pixel screen thing and you go through stairs downwards and there's like pixelated goblins and you shoot them with your arrows or your sword and you can cast magic spells. Didn't come with an instruction manual, just like every other fucking game back in the day. So I just had to kind of figure it out from like the demo and then play the game itself. Yeah. Commander Keen. I'm now just on like this nostalgic like trip of all these old games.
Okay, well let's bring anyway, you back to
bring
the
it back.
Present.
Yeah,
bring you back to the present. I do want to talk a little bit about a recent tweet that I made that you misinterpreted.
Probably happens a lot. Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when it was. But Blizzard announced that they were making a Zenyatta figure.
Oh, God. We're going to bring this up.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to bring this up.
All right. Just shame me.
Yeah, yeah. Shame, shame, shame.
We can't shame. We can't shame other people. But let's Harvey Z shame.
Yes. We're totally going to Harvey Z shame.
Okay.
So I posted that I was, or like retweeted it and said I was going to get it, basically.
Explain what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like it's a Figma.
Well just on the name alone.
What? Like, Zenyatta?
Well, okay, so I saw, so my perspective, see,
okay.
I see a Zenyatta, an image of Zenyatta, and you put like some label in
Zenyatta, oh, by the way, Zenyatta is an Overwatch character, he's a character from Overwatch, and Blizzard announced, they have like a running figurine series.
Not known to me at the time, but okay, that was very key and important.
Yeah, and so they release new figurines of characters at different intervals. I think there's like four or five in this particular set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited because Zenyatta is one of my favorite characters and it looks really cool. So I tweeted that I was going to get it. And then Harvey Z replied.
I don't remember what I replied, but I was like, what is so special about this? It just looks like a new skin for Zenyatta.
Exactly.
Because again, I didn't realize it was a friggin' figure. I actually just thought it was a screenshot of like a victory pose from the game. Because you just said, oh, it's like the...
That's how awesome this figure is.
Like,
you thought it was just from the game.
I just thought it was from the game. It was like Figura Zenyatta or something, or Figura, whatever the name of the figure.
Figma.
Figma Zenyatta. And I was like, oh, it's a new skin. I don't see what's so special about the skin from the game. But all right, if you want to spend like your $2 on it, go for it.
And then I replied to him that it was a figurine.
And then I was like, oh, well, okay. Well, I did not know these things. I didn't know this existed. Fair enough. Yes.
Well, and so I wanted to bring this up because I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about gaming merchandise that isn't games.
Physical,
you know,
merchandise.
Like figurines or statues or artwork or things like that. Because I remember growing up, I never got any, like, game stuff didn't have that sort of...
Every so often, like, a game you might buy might come with, like, a map or something or a poster inside of it. And, like, I liked it. I didn't expect it. Usually they weren't advertised or so. Computer games that came in huge boxes started to come with that.
Right.
But, like, it wasn't an expected... I didn't buy the game for the merchandise of that sort. Yeah. Posters. I don't know when posters started to come out. Like, movie posters I started to collect, but even then, that was a rare thing to get.
Yeah. The first big gaming merchandise thing I got was... I don't even remember how my friend got it, but my friend gave it to me for, I think, either birthday or Christmas. Mm-hmm. But it was a Final Fantasy VIII wall hanging.
Oh.
And it's probably still in my parents' house somewhere, maybe even still hanging up because they like to preserve everything. But it's a wall hanging of Squall, and it has like shots from like the CG cutscenes.
And it's like a
behind
cloth
him.
Tapestry. Or,
yeah, it's like a cloth hanging.
Yeah,
and that was my pride and joy for many years because that was not something you would get.
It's like
very
a next
often.
Level in your gaming like investment or something.
Yeah,
you didn't get this from a game. You went out and purchased something your friend did and then gave it to you. But yes.
Yeah. So that was a big deal. It seems like it's more recently. Like when's the last 5 or 10 years, like they were started doing more collector's editions with games where you got physical stuff. Mm-hmm. But now with the internet and everything, you can get all sorts of collectibles. Like there's a lot of Funko Pops. Like I'm not a big fan of Funko Pops. I hate them.
You hate them. Okay.
Yeah, like the little beady eyes.
As
and
I
just
like look over and you have tons of figurines on your shelves and stuff. They're not Funko though, to be fair.
I did say I don't like Funko Pops. Like, I have plenty of figurines.
You just not like Funko, like the
style?
Like,
the way they look, yeah. It's
I kind of like them. Well, I like them less because they're not bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Because when I saw them...
They look like they should bobble,
they
though.
Totally look like they bobble. And the bobblehead ones, I totally like and would get... If they had the normal Funko designs of, like, some of the characters, like they do the wrestling ones and stuff, if they were bobbleheaded, totally would get them. But, like, so I don't mind the aesthetic of Funko... But it does seem like they've blown up to the point of where, like, there are game designers and, like, people made into Funko where I'm like, really? Are we at this level of, like
yeah,
A-list, B-list or so? But, like, probably there are Funko YouTubers out there.
That wouldn't surprise me. As soon as anything becomes popular, they make a Funko out of it. And sometimes it's not popular and they still make a Funko out of it.
Super collectible versions.
Yeah. I don't know. So I was wondering, like, would you get... gaming stuff, like I know you mentioned, like there's a currently there's a chrysalid sitting behind me.
There's a figure of a chrysalid that just looks badass.
Yeah,
from the XCOM games. So this is where I'm torn because I think we might have talked about it in episode 0 or episode hopefully 1, but probably in 0, of where with games and the cost of games, the money I want to put into is the money for the entertainment value of the game. I didn't really, as a kid, have disposable income for, like, sort of stuff. Yeah. And then as a teenager slash college person, still didn't really... It's only once I started working I had maybe a disposable income. And even then, I would prefer things like books or comic books. So this is where I'm coming at it. From a comic book side, comic books have value. I can read them over and over. Yes, you can display them and you can kind of put them up on your walls and such. There are people who would buy, like, displays of figurines... I just never saw it unless it was like I had to view it as like an investment. Like, oh, I'm going to buy this $200 like statue and maybe over time it might become like $300, but it doesn't blow up that market.
And so you prefer to spend your money on utility. Like you have to get something
like
out of it.
If I bought art, like that's what I view the world of. It's artwork that you're displaying.
Right. Yeah.
And like it is weird to think of it, but Funko is pop art.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it is, but it's the thing is, it's mass produced. There's so much of it that it doesn't really come off on the aesthetic art sense for me. It would have to be a oh, this is a character that I really like and that I want to have it to show that, hey, I fuck with this kind of thing. But like, I haven't really found it, because again, if it's like, if it's not, if it doesn't have art value, then I'm like, do I really, really need it? And I don't know, since I've become in that corporate world, like, you just save up money and you pay bills and stuff. I don't usually spend things on that because I view it as frivolous. I know. This is where at some point I switched over.
Your apartment has got to look so bare.
I started to like the bare aesthetic, because the one thing I did get was someone as a gift once gave me like Loot Crate.
Uh-huh.
Like literally all the collectibles I have are from like Loot Crate, where I loved them and they were so cool and I would display them and I looked at them and I was really happy to have them. Would I buy any of them individually? No. But would I take them as gifts? Yes. Yes, I would.
So you like them, but you just don't feel the need to spend the money on them yourself.
Yeah, because it's like I look at it and I display it. At the same time, though, like now I will sometimes pass by and I see like artwork and I'm like, I kind of want to buy artwork from like people. And it's like $100, $200, like $500. And I'm like, ah. But in my mind, I'm like, this could appreciate in value. And
yeah, see, that's the thing is.
Side story.
Oh,
I mean, if we're talking about artwork, I am a person who has paid $250, though, for like a painting. I have commissioned a painting mm-hmm. before of my face. And I think I gave it to my parents as a joke gift. What I did not expect, my mother loved it and then displayed it in the house. And that backfired on me. Because I was just, it was a joke. It was a picture of my face. I was like, ah, you love me so much, Mom. Here's a picture of me. It's your favorite thing in the world. And she was like, yes, I want this so bad. It's going up in the living room. So if you manage to visit Harvey Z's parents, they will sit you down in the living room, and across from the fireplace is a giant 4 foot by like 3 foot painting, like with acrylics and oil and all that stuff, of my face just looking at you. I tried to play them. They played me. Well played, Mom. I love you.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, like it's at my house. If you ever come over, I'll show it to you. It's right there. It's above the fireplace. It was a giant painting to begin with. And I was like, ah, they'll just like, it was a joke gift. I didn't think of what would happen next. I just assumed they'll just put it away in the house or like in the attic or something. But no,
it's right proudly up, displayed. Like
proudly displayed where this, when people come over.
This is my son. Look at his face.
Yes. Oh. Oh God. It was, yeah. It is awkward. I mean, it's a nice painting and everything. It was totally worth it. I was happy to get the artwork. But like, yeah, I'm not, I mean, Harvey Z is Harvey Z. But even I don't have a giant like picture of my face hanging up in my living room. My parents do.
Oh, God. I don't think I've ever bought anything with my face on it.
Nothing? Like,
I got a caricature done when I was little, but I don't think
never as an adult though.
No, I don't think so.
Huh. Yeah, I kind of get it. Like this, I'm like, oh, it'll again. My justification was like, oh, if this person becomes a famous artist or so. Like, I've had friends go to art school. I've had them like design stuff.
So you really only buy art with the idea that you might get value out of it later. Like, you don't just buy something because it looks good.
So the artwork that I would buy would be stuff that I like. Like, oh, this represents my aesthetic. I like it. But in the back of my mind, it's like, and it's also my justifications are one, I'm supporting the artist, or it's an artist I want to support in some way. And then two, oh, this could have appreciation and value. And even if it does depreciate in value, I don't mind so much because, again, I'll just go back to in my head, I'm supporting a local artist or so. Funko is like a company, or like these things are usually mass produced. Like if someone was like, oh, I custom paint figures or so, and they take like a blank Funko thing and then they paint their things on it, I'm like, okay, maybe I would do that to support the artist. That's a different matter.
Okay.
But usually, yeah, if I buy artwork, it's something that I like, but it's also the sense of, yeah, this would appreciate in value. Yeah, actually, that is kind of my view towards art. Like art, anybody can make art. They should make art. I support like art wholeheartedly, like the sense of it. Like local artists, yes, support them. Give them the money and all of that stuff. At the same time, like I do think with my wallet at times with that.
Interesting. Yeah, I have a upper limit, I think, on what I'm willing to spend on art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most I've ever spent on one specific like figure or figurine, not including like collector's editions.
You have some really nice like statues and stuff that seem like they would cost a lot.
I mean, a lot of the statues I have came in like game collector's editions. I got the Spider-Man collector's edition, God of War, I think Dark Souls 2. That's just a couple of like the figurines that I have. Or that those are less, those are less figurines, more statues.
Okay.
Like I figurine in my head is like closer to an action figure. Like you've got action figures, which are just the toys. Then the figurines and then statues or statuettes, however you want to call it. The one thing I did spend, I think I paid $250, might have been $350. I don't remember exactly what it was.
$200 or $300.
Yeah. So like for a official Vigor bottle. So I really like BioShock Infinite, and I know a lot of people have problems with it, but it's one of my favorite games. And it's partly because I really like the designs of the Vigors.
Yeah.
And so for a while they were selling Vigor bottles, and at one point I just had enough disposable income, like I'm going to pull the trigger, and it was somewhere around $300. For an Undertow Vigor bottle, which was my favorite design. And they're limited edition, so that I think they only made like 500 total. My box has like a number on it. So it might appreciate in value, but like it's just a really cool, like it's cool. You can go on, I'm pretty sure you can go on Etsy or some of those other places that people have handmade their own versions of it, but this one's like official collector from Irrational Games, like very well designed, sculpted, like looks really cool. So that's probably the most expensive
thing. And you were probably happy when you got it.
Yeah.
You still are probably happy with
like,
it.
So it's funny because for like a year or two, in fact, this might, like the apartment I'm currently in might be the first place I actually displayed it. Because it was expensive and I really liked it. And we were prone to have drunken parties at our place for a long time, and so I didn't want to put a very expensive thing out, which just kind of does
look like it contains, it looks like an alcohol bottle.
So I didn't want
mistakes to happen.
So that's sitting out on display now. That's my, I wouldn't say my pride and joy, but it's definitely like, if the apartment's on fire and I've got to save a figurine, I'm going to grab that because that one's the one that's most important to me. Just I feel is the coolest thing I own.
See, I feel that way about like the comic books I have, like the series or things like that. I display those with pride, and like I have books that I really like that I kind of display. But yeah, but they have utility value as well. And I'm not someone who, oh, these are my comic books, I must seal them away and like never open them, or I must buy two, one to read and one to like flip through kind of, or one to never touch or keep in the box kind of thing. Like I display the comic books that I have, but I do read them as well, which is, I know, a huge, like not a collector's thing at all. And they totally depreciate it in value, but those things give me utility. And so, yeah, I am a utility buyer. Artwork, part of it is this disposable mindset. I don't feel I have enough like disposable income yet. If I had enough, I totally want to be somebody who displays like cool artwork. There are artists I follow like on Instagram who release things, and they have like every so often they'll say like they'll have lower cost versions of their original works. And I'm like, I want that stuff, but I don't have a place to display it yet. First, I need to get like a steady like house. Not like I feel like because I'm in an apartment, I don't have a sense of permanence. I don't want to have something temporary kind of thing.
Yeah, my more bigger problem is not the disposable income, but the disposable wall space. Like, there's only a certain amount before it starts to look bad if you hang too much stuff up. And so at some point you have to kind of cap off depending on the space you have. Currently, we've kind of hit at my place the amount of space that can be taken up by artwork unless we take things down and start rearranging, which is even more of a headache. But yeah, I don't know. Part of it for me, though, especially when it comes to artwork, is I don't know why, but I really like artwork and figures and things of stuff that I'm a fan of.
Like, makes sense.
I mean, very rarely do I buy an artwork that's just like a sunset over the plains.
Oh, see.
Or, you know, like a lighthouse looking off into the distance. Or, like, I want to see, like, a really weird Picasso interpretation of Mario. Or,
okay.
You know, some, like, watercolor blend of Mega Man X, but it's his silhouette and he's fighting Zero. Like, it's...
So part of that came for me, like, I like art, or I appreciate art better, having had, like, art history classes and things like that. Before that, I wouldn't say that I fell into that mindset. With art history, it kind of gave me a better idea behind the lenses or the artwork of, like, the perspective of what are some techniques being used here, what are we trying to say more than in the landscape paintings. Could it be a metaphor? Could it be something else? Or sometimes just, yeah, I really like this cool shading technique that he used. But I am actually, yeah, totally a fan of certain landscapes and stuff. As a kid, I used to love that, oh, who's the guy who's known for his, like, cheesy, mass-populated artwork everywhere? Not Thomas Kinkade. Not,
Vincent van Gogh?
No. He's not a famous, well, he's not a famous artist, like, from, like, history or such. He's, like, a mass-popular artist. Like, if you went to the mall, basically, all of the picture frames are stacked with his, like, paintings of just, like, they're, like, street sentences or, like, a sunset or something. But it's just, he was just super prolific in the 90s, and everybody just had his artwork.
I have no idea. I'm not a big art.
And so, like, I actually really liked his stuff because he did really nice work, actually, with his nighttime sequences of, like, lights and stuff. But it's viewed as, like, mass-produced or trash pop art. But I really like pop art.
Because the only way for art to be valuable if there's only five copies of it in the world.
Like, yeah, this guy, the artist, when he dies, it becomes more, like, valuable because of that or so. I like what I like. I agree with you on that. But I did like landscapes and things. But part of it came from studying about it more. Side note on it, did you hear about the Banksy?
Yeah, the self-shredding painting.
Oh, that was so fucking awesome. So for you guys, it just happened, like, actually, I think this weekend.
Yeah, this, like, weekend. A Banksy painting was sold.
It's his little girl reaching out for a red balloon one. He had given it to them. It was framed, and it was a painting one, not so like a graffiti piece, but it was like a picture that he had, like, done his impression over. And it got sold for the cost of his other one, which is $1.4 million. And at the moment that they sold it, they said there was an employee there or somebody in the back had a remote and pushed a button and then left. But somebody pushed a button and the painting then shreds through because there was a hidden shredder at the bottom of the frame. I watched the video for it and they stopped it halfway through, but they were like, that to me was the most fucking, that is art. And then Banksy, like, had an Instagram photo of it. And, like, so he acknowledged that this was done. Mm-hmm. Going gone was his, caption for it, where yeah, he put it up for auction, he let them buy it, and then
they shredded it.
$1.4 million for, I guess, shreds of it, and I guess they get the picture frame, although they saved half of it, so I guess you could display it that way of, like, oh, I got the thing that was, that to me is, that's art, that's cool.
Yeah, Banksy is a unique person. Well, I guess I had some other stuff to talk about, but we got on off on a couple
lots
different
of tangents.
Tangents,
although I don't know, it was,
you know, it was
an interesting, we went on some,
it was good tangents.
We went on some journeys.
Yeah, we've got another get rich quick scheme going. We're gonna do a Tekken house or something
hashtag
like that.
Hashtag Tekken Shark.
Okay, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at the Z is silent.
Cool.
You were waiting for it, weren't you? No, not this time. We're professionals.
You can find me at T-Man Plays Games on Twitter. You can find the podcast at Make Me a Podcast. And
your blog?
Oh, my blog is tmanwrites.com. You can find new writings, and we also post the podcast on there as well. If you,
For
whatever reason, don't want to download it or,
like, from iTunes or stuff, and leave us reviews and stuff. We could use that stuff.
Yeah, you know,
I want to start doing commercials, man. Like, Harvey Z needs to get some money. Give me that MeUndies money. Give me that Audible podcast. You know you're out there. We need to start doing that stuff.
Okay. All right.
I don't know how we get into that, though. Like, do they just pick every podcast, or do they pick... I assumed it was like... That's like the next status mark.
I mean, eventually, if we have people listening to it...
Oh, we need listeners for that?
Yeah, we need listeners for
it. It's not just like number of episodes or something put out there.
No, because if you don't have listeners... then there's no reason for them to give you ads.
But, oh, because they let you have some leeway with how you can make the ads. So
I, it would be fun. You're super excited for this.
Again, corporate Harvey Z, the next feasible get-rich-quick scheme, Audible money, MeUndies money.
MeUndies?
MeUndies? That's like the other super popular one, isn't it? That's on like all the podcasts or so.
I've never heard of that.
It's like mattresses, underwear, and like books. Those are the three things that I usually see popping up.
Okay. We're going to end on that. Mattress, underwear, and books?
That's what apparently you, the listeners, are super into. I mean, it makes sense. You need a place to sleep. You need a place to shit. No, never mind. Scratch that. You need a place not to shit, I guess. And then you need something to read while you don't shit. You need something to wear while you're on the mattress where you sleep.
Okay.
I can do better commercials than this. Don't worry, guys. Please give us the money.
Take us out, RVZ. Outro.
I forgot at this point. I'm sorry.